Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A cube.
A cube. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside Jolly Roger's studio. This is the Q Filmcast. And whether you're with us online worldwide or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If you don't yet know, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week at Jolly Roger's studio where we go around the table to tell you what we thought. That and our top three list, which is always inspired by the movie in question.
Always.
I mean always. I mean not, I mean 100%
every
of the time.
Time.
And it's 100% satisfaction guaranteed, by the way.
Whoa,
or your money back. Man.
Or your money back, right.
We'll give you free twice. And this week that movie is the 1999 Flesh for Fantasy horror romp. I came up with that on my own. Do you like the way I did that?
Was it a romp?
I don't know.
Go dark comedy.
The 1999 dark comedy. Flesh for Fantasy. I'm going to put that in there. Anyways.
Right. You really like some Billy Idol, don't you?
Everyone might by the end of this thing. We're talking about Ravenous.
We are.
We are going to talk about the 1990 film Ravenous. Anybody here seen this film?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I think we all did.
I did.
Oh, you did not?
No.
Oh, okay.
First time of seeing it.
Virgin territory for you.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's the film in the queue tonight, Max. And this film stars Guy Pearce.
You've never seen Ravenous.
It stars Randy Carlyle.
Love those guys.
Wait, not Randy Carlyle.
Yeah, Brandy Carlyle. No. Randy
Carlyle. Robert Carlyle.
Robert Carlyle.
Robert Carlyle.
Let me just say why that happened. It's the beginning of hockey season, and Randy Carlyle is the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's terrible. We're talking about Robert Carlyle and Ed Rooney from Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, I love that guy. Jeffrey Jones.
Jeffrey Jones. So if you've seen this film, I say keep listening. Keep listening. See if you agree or disagree with our take on it. Or if not, Max, even better.
Oh.
It's even better. You know what? You keep listening to see if this is something that you'd want to queue up yourself.
Right.
And I'm telling you, that's the way the game is played.
That's the way it's kind of played.
Yeah, maybe absolutely. You watched it last week after we announced it.
Yeah, actually, right. You know what, Max? We will keep telling this from time to time. That is actually how the game is played.
Yeah, right. You those are the real rules.
You listen last week. You say, oh, that's the film I have to watch. Homework.
There you
homework.
Go.
A little bit of homework. You bit. Watch them. And then you come back here and you disagree with Savage.
Hey, no, no.
That's how we play the game. No, actually, you come back here and generally you disagree with Adam. So.
Hey.
No, I don't know. It's me.
No, no. Not always Savage, you know.
It's usually one of y'all.
You're a beautiful man. But I'm Michael, your host, along with, as always, to my left, he is delicious looking tonight. And I'm talking about... James Hardsub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Savage.
Yeah?
I'm doing all right. Can I tell you why?
Why?
Let me tell you why. I've had a very good week. You want to know why?
Why?
Because I didn't have any blood stains on my shirt that I had to try to get out with whisk.
All right, that's good.
I was not trapped in a cave being cannibalized by my friends.
That's good.
And Ed Rooney did not try to take a bite out of me. That's fantastic.
So just all around, nobody tried to eat you.
But Savage, I'm talking to your left now.
Yeah.
We're talking about Matthew St. Hoodie,
there
the patron
is.
Saint of quality outerwear.
How goes it?
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Is a blood-stained shirt considered quality outerwear?
I don't know about quality. I would say no.
No?
You got to do something about the blood stain. You got to put some other quality over it. Or a newspaper. You know?
Oh, I see. Okay. So what you're saying is you would use quality outerwear to cover up the shirt.
It was probably quality outerwear before it got blood on it, and now it's not quality anymore.
That's okay, so so what you're saying is that could affect the quality of the outerwear, the blood.
It's still probably really warm, but it's not aesthetically pleasing.
Okay, see, that's what I'm trying to get to.
There you go.
Right.
You can't wear it in public anymore.
Well, it depends on your friends, I guess.
What you call public.
Here, yeah, you can wear it here.
Or if it's near Halloween.
I don't know, but let's talk about your friend to your left, and that is... We're talking about Max Gumbo Johnson.
Oh, we are. I did not like this movie. I'm just getting it out there right now.
Can you not hold your horses?
No, I cannot.
I say bite me. You don't even know. We don't even know.
He licked me.
He was licking me.
Yeah, we're putting the cart before the horse. But yeah, there was some licking, some biting, some chewing.
Well, hole digging, sort of.
Max is the only one with food in his name, so he's the only one that would get eaten.
Yeah, right. They'd come after
what'd
me
you say,
first.
Gumbo?
Yeah. I'll bet you Max would taste like gumbo, though. I'll bet you would. A little bit of roux.
a little whiskey, a little
bitter, you know, bitter.
You know what? We keep hearing this voice from behind you and over into the producing cube. You know who that is? That's our producer. We're talking about the greatest producer in the history of this Q Filmcast, Adam the Bomb Rogers.
Hi.
I think you've already got one dissenter on your film.
I don't like him.
And
I will devour him.
Yikes. And the reason I say your film, Adam, right, is because this was queued up by you.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into that in a minute. You're going to tell us why. But before we do that, let's talk about how to keep up with us.
Sure.
Can't forget that.
No.
Heck no, man. We're talking about Facebook. We're talking about Twitter.
Yeah,
we're
really
talking about iTunes. I am. I'm talking about Google Plus.
Okay.
I'm not going to leave off the YouTube channel.
Nope, don't do
all
it.
That stuff.
Yep.
You just search the Q Filmcast. You'll find us.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't need to if you just went to theqfilmcast.net. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Q, have you been there, Max?
Yeah.
What are you?
Yes.
Have you ever visited
all the time?
Theqfilmcast.net.
Heck yeah.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing it.
Thousands and thousands.
I would hope that it's not a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
It would be if someone ate you.
Well, sure. That's more of a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
I'm being eaten. Wait, let me go to theqfilmcast.net just once.
I have to check their Twitter account.
You can find us any way you want to. But, yeah, once again, qfilmcast.net. Go there. We love feedback. Tell us how we're doing. We like that. You can even leave your own review. So let's get into this thing. We're talking about Ravenous 1999, queued up by the producer.
Bomb.
And I told you I was going to ask you why. So, and by the way, before we get into this, I want to refer back to last week's episode. This was the last thing I ever rented on VHS at Blockbuster. And I remember saying to myself, I need to remember this. This is the last thing I will ever rent at Blockbuster on VHS because I just bought my DVD player. This was it.
Damn you, Blockbuster.
So anyways, producer, go ahead. Why did you queue up this film, 1999 Ravenous?
Well, I wanted to get in the Halloween spirit. I wanted a little horror movie that was different than the norm, and I really enjoy this movie, and it's so that's why I picked it.
He liked it well.
It's a movie that won't go away. People still talk about this film.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, you are just like anxious. Will
indigestion.
You stop? We have a place and a time for you, and it is
okay,
not right now, sir.
Wow. Yeah. In his place.
That's right.
I did. You see me smack him down. Get back in your cave.
Smacked down.
Back in
smacked
your pot
him
combo.
Down. This film was written by Ted Griffin. He wrote actually some decent films. He wrote all the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff.
All right.
On TV. Did you like the S.H.I.E.L.D.?
The S.H.I.E.L.D.? Oh, yeah. I love the S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, that's the guy that wrote this.
Wow. He put this piece of crap out? And the S.H.I.E.L.D. was awesome.
He wrote Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
He wrote Matchstick Men.
I love Matchstick Men.
Right.
What happened, Max? What happened?
What happened to this guy?
We're going to talk about that. This thing was directed by Antonia Bird.
A lady.
Yeah, apparently this thing was set to be directed by someone else at the last minute. Something happened? Fired?
Eaten?
Maybe he was eaten by Antonia Bird.
They just kept eating their directors.
Survivor Takes All, and this was her first film. She also has directed Priest, Face, Mad Love, British, and a bunch of British TV.
Yeah.
So anyways, as they all do, this film inspired a top three.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is no different, and one word rose to the top here. That is hungry. So this was tough, man. Top three hungry characters. As we do every week, we defer back to the critics. We critique the critics.
That's right.
And we're talking about IMDb.
Right.
We never know what
that's
they're
all thinking. Viewers.
Max Gumbo Johnson. Let's go over to you once more because he's hot for the mic. His mic has smoke coming off of it. This man has something to say.
Right.
Let's cool him off. Let's get him involved immediately. Let's talk about IMDb and what you think it gave to the film Ravenous 1999.
I'm going to go 6.3.
It has some love. It's 8.1.
8.7.1.
7.1?
I have 8.1. Oh, maybe it's a misprint. It's a 7. Oh, sorry. 7.1.
Wow.
Redo that.
7.1.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I must have had bad typing skills. Okay, 7.1. I thought 8.1 was a little high.
Max is staggered.
7.1 is a little high.
He grabbed his chest. Yeah. His arm went up in the air.
Elizabeth, I'm gone.
I'll tell you what. If he dies, I get first dibs.
You can eat my ass.
I'm going to give me some rump roast out of this deal. Some rump roast. God, no. I wouldn't want that.
Wow.
Although, what have a bit of a Cajun
flair
to it?
We're done.
Would it have a Cajun
flair? We're done.
Okay. I don't know. Let's go over to Hearts Up Savage. We're going to talk about Rotten Tomatoes now. Right. We're going to talk about the critics. Okay. Something fresh, a percentage-wise, right. Savage. If you would, if you will. Right. You tell me, critics-wise, what Rotten Tomatoes gave this film.
82%.
No, they hated it. 43%.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
You can't make anything out of that tomato. That'll kill you.
Yeah, forget about it.
Let's see if there's a disparity.
That's salmonella.
All right.
What about you,
I've got my barometers.
All right. Well, let's talk about users on Rotten Tomatoes for a ravenous 1999.
68.
79.
Yeah.
Apparently, the critics.
Wild swings, man.
The critics are so far away from the users.
God.
43 to 79. Did the critics know something the users did not
know? Yes, apparently.
Adam got on there last
night.
Nope,
critics are snobs.
See, look up there on the producing screen.
No, the critics are not snobs. Critics are correct. Yeah.
43 and 79, that's a big drop. But let's get into the film, guys. Let's talk about what this film is because, yeah, there's some things to mull over, I would
chew
say.
Chew on.
To chew on.
There you go.
Yeah, definitely chew on, without a doubt. Here's what you have. Ravenous, 1999. Tells the story of Captain John Boyd, a soldier in the Mexican-American War of 1847, and his banishment to a desolated military outpost in California's Sierra Nevada Mountains. After being accused of cowardice, upon his arrival, he is greeted by a ragtag group of soldiers manning the fort, including a chaplain, a drunk doctor, a heavily medicated cook, and Commanding Officer Hart, played by Jeffrey Jones. One day, Colquhoun, played by Robert Carlyle, stumbles into their camp, a half-starved Scotsman who's been traveling with a group of settlers until they were snowbound. Unable to move forward, they took refuge in a cave, where once they ran out of food, they were forced to resort to cannibalism. Colquhoun barely escapes the madness. Or did he? Boyd and the soldiers hear of the old Indian legend of the Wendigo, which states that a man who tastes the flesh of another steals that man's spirit, strength, and essence. His hunger, however, will become an unstoppable craving. Like a vampire, the more he eats, the more he wants, and the stronger he will become. With death the only escape from the madness, the soldiers are soon drawn into the frenzy, and Boyd is soon left with the choice of eating or being eaten. We're going to listen to a piece of the film 1999 Ravenous. We're going to come back, tell you what we thought of this film. So here you are. We will be back in just a few.
We're sending you to California, Fort Spencer.
We have four missing soldiers, Captain, and no bodies. We need a supportable explanation.
Captain John Boyd is about to discover...
No one just ends up at Fort Spencer. We come for a reason.
Yours being?
Well...
Something he never imagined.
We have a great sense of camaraderie here at Fort Spencer.
This Indian scout told me a curious story.
Wendigo.
It's an old Indian myth from the north.
Man eats the flesh of another. He absorbs the other man's strength.
Now, one man must choose.
We need others.
Between having dinner and being dinner.
You're listening to the Q Filmcast, and we are talking about the film right here. This is Ravenous. 1999, and that's the trailer from it. So let's get into it, guys. But before we do that, you know what we do every time, show, right here.
What do we do?
Well, let me explain this to you, Max. let me explain to the audience.
Okay.
We talk about some trivia, just some facts,
all right.
Some things to kick around. Did you know that according to Robert Carlyle's DVD commentary, vegetarian Guy Pearce stoically underwent multiple takes of him eating a life-saving Knox stew, which was, in fact, a very nice lamb stew, chomping into large chunks of meat and then spitting them out as soon as the director called cut.
What a wuss.
Yeah, he couldn't even handle the lamb steak.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was vegetarian. Lamb.
You think that steak scene would bother him more.
I love lamb. I could eat lamb stew.
Me too.
I'd be screwing up scenes just so I could have another bite.
Yeah, you
want to do that one more time, director? Mutton. Did you know the end fight was made up by actors Guy Pearce and Robert Carlyle when the original script ending was scrapped in favor of them just beating the hell out of each other? During this, the production ran out of fake blood. I don't even know what that means. Does that mean anything to you? Are they trying to tell me there was a different ending?
Yes, apparently.
Okay. Did you know that it is 25 minutes into the film before Guy Pearce's lead character, who is in virtually every scene, utters his first full sentence?
Yeah, I guess so.
Didn't even think about that. Did you know that director Milecho Malkovechi was replaced after he was fired 2 weeks into production?
Wow.
That sounds like a guy that needs to be replaced. Wasn't he also in charge of Troll 2?
I have no idea. It might have been. But maybe that was a Troll 2 guy.
Right.
Did you know that Ives said in the film, the character Ives says, I've reached Denver that spring, presumably 1847. But Denver wasn't founded until 1958.
That sounds about right.
Shocking.
Wow. There's a script supervisor on that one.
Okay, so let's go. Let's dig in. Let's take a big bite out of this one.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. Ravenous 1999. yeah, where should we start? And first of all, we don't use thumbs up. Wait, we could use like thumbs.
Let's just use thumbs.
No, I think we have something better than that. We don't use stars either. We let the film tell us how we're going to rate it. And Savage, why don't you reveal that? What's it going to be?
Meaty mouthfuls.
Of what kind of meat?
Meaty.
You choose.
Just meaty.
Just meaty. Yeah.
Whatever guy's available.
Right.
Meat.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, meaty mouthfuls 1 through 10. I have a thing, Adam. Usually I throw over to the man that queued it up. I have to go with Gumbo on this one.
Nah.
No. I want to hear his.
Oh, you want to go with Adam?
No, yeah, no, I want to hear
go
his first.
First. I insist.
No, I'm not. Don't. I'm no.
No. No. No. Adam, we're gonna go
the routine.
Then. Max is gonna set the stage. I'm gonna go over to you. You queued this film up. Ravenous 1999. Giddy up, what you got?
Okay, I'm only going to go with 7.
Okay.
Even though I really enjoyed this movie.
Okay.
I think it's funny. I love the story. I love the music. There is nothing I really hate about this movie. It's not a perfect movie.
No.
But you know, I thoroughly enjoy watching this movie. I watch it year after year, and I get excited each time I even think about watching this movie. So, but yeah, as right. As a critique, only a 7. Oh. Sorry, guys.
Hey, some people do like this film.
Apologize. Only a 7.
Yeah.
The most understated rating I've ever heard.
Well, listen, man, some people do like this film. This has become a favorite of a lot of people. I'm not kidding you. It really has. I cannot wait to play that off of you, Max Gumbo Johnson. Can I go to you next?
Yeah.
I want to hear what you have to say.
Sure.
We're talking about Ravenous 1999, Meaty Mouthfuls.
Sure. I don't think I hated it as much as you guys, but I didn't like it by any means. It's between like a 4 and a 5. I'm going to go high for some love of Adam because I think he's going to need the 5. He's going to need that point.
He's going to need that 5.
But it just was very...
It's goofy.
A banjo. Really?
Oh, wow.
Really?
No, are you telling me you have seen this film before?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I honestly, the first time I saw it was like late night HBO, and I was like, what the... am I watching? And yeah, so I did. I didn't recognize the name when he said it, but as soon as I turned it on and watched it for a little bit, I was like, oh, yeah.
This one.
This one.
Yep.
Yeah. And banjos.
I don't know what's talking about the banjo. You have to reveal that to me, banjos.
Come on.
That's not the most offensive part of the film. I mean, maybe it should be. I need to learn something.
It is to me.
Banjos. What about you, Hearts Up Savage? Reveal your rating for 1999 Ravenous.
I got no shame. I liked this film.
Woo-hoo!
I liked it back in the day. I liked it now. I forgot how much I did like it. I'll give it a 7, too. It's got its flaws.
Yeah.
But, you know, you pay your money, you take your ride, you know?
Yeah.
It's a fun ride. So I'm giving it a 7.
Okay, good deal, man. You know what? I'm going to go 5. I'm going to go 5. Look, this is an asinine film. Come on. It's one asinine thing after another. But the thing I think I'm going to get on board with you on is you're a theatrical guy. You like theater.
Yeah.
This is a theatrical movie. I mean, it's like, you know, on stage, delivering the big lines.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
There's some of that.
Like, this would make a good stage play. To me, anyway.
I could see that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can actually see that.
You should write that adaptation. Yeah, I like the theatrics of it. You have Jeffrey Jones trying to eat somebody. I like that. It's bloody.
Yeah.
And I found myself, I remember saying, I shouldn't like this as much as I do. Not that I like it at 5. But I'm like, why didn't I absolutely hate it? Because I thought it was funny and goofy and stuff. But I'm going to go 5. I'll give it its intent, like I usually say.
Sure. You
know? It intended to do something good enough. 5, but man, is it asinine.
I suspect Max has a bone to pick with this film.
A bone? A meaty bone?
I don't have a bone to pick with this movie. It was terrible. It was terrible. I'll give it a 3.
Oh, sorry. I haven't asked you your rating yet. I'm sorry. 3.
3 meaty mouthfuls. You liked the music.
Yes.
You liked the music. You know what? I watched this movie, and then I went to IMDb. And Rotten Tomatoes and looked up some stuff and said, a black comedy horror. It's like unintentional comedy. I think they got halfway through filming this thing and said, wow, this is bad. Let's bill it as a comedy. It's kind of like The Room.
I was just going to say,
kind of like The Room.
Yeah.
The most hilarious black comedy you've seen. It was awful. It was awful.
Sure, you don't want to go down to
it
two?
It knew what it wanted to do, and it
no,
did it.
No, it didn't. It didn't. We'll get into that later. It did not know what it wanted to do.
Yeah, yeah. This and, is.
But I'll give it. What did I go with? A four?
You went with a
three. No, he said four.
I'm going to give it a three. Take it back. Three.
I think you said three in the beginning.
You did.
Three. Okay, three, yeah. So we're 27 meaty mouthfuls.
27 meaty mouthfuls.
Boy, that's just an appetizer.
That'll fill you up, I guess, on a cold day.
That would fill you up. But
I take big mouthfuls of that meat.
I might puke it all back up after I watch it again.
I don't like the way that sounds.
Awful movie.
But let's talk about it. Max, you are going to get the stage. Your mic has smoke coming off of it. I can't wait to hear. I want you to be the mad dissenter. But I'm going to go over to the producer. I want you to tell me, Adam, you say you watch this every year and you like the music.
Yeah, I watch it quite a bit.
I'm going to stand back and watch you work your magic, man. Go.
Can't wait for this.
Magic man.
Magic man.
Defend this movie now.
Okay, A, I like all the horror elements in this movie. I like the acting. I like all the little one-liners they throw out constantly and the little cut scenes. I actually enjoyed the music to this. Believe it or not, I know y'all, I've already heard y'all talk about this, how bad y'all hate it, but I thoroughly enjoyed the music to it. I think that's what kind of brought that film, brought the score up more for me, is because I really enjoy it. And actually, this is the movie that started, like, quote unquote, my man crush on Guy Pearce, which I think he's great. And ever since then, I've, like, followed him doing whatever he does. And
yeah.
Thoroughly enjoyed this movie. I think it's hysterical.
Hey, wait, did this come out before L.A. Confidential?
No, it didn't.
Is anybody else still waiting on B?
Don't know what that is. Okay, so
A.
This...
A.
Okay, oh, wait, not B, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, what's B? What's B?
B?
He's up to G now.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
Already went through everything.
Adam, let's just leave B as your man crush on Guy Pearce, because I had no idea.
You got a man crush.
I didn't know a person could have one of those.
Sure you do.
There's other guys that have a better man crush.
Okay, so let me back him up on this. What you're saying is you thought that it was fun. You thought the acting was good.
Mm-hmm.
This solidified your man-boy crush on Guy Pearce.
Exactly.
And you liked the horror elements.
Oh, yeah.
This is a bloody film, too, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, bad fake blood, though. That's the one thing I didn't like about
it. Was really bad.
I've seen way bloodier.
This is pretty bloody.
Well, they ran out of blood at the end.
They ran out of blood. I mean, what kind of production is this? They ran out of, oh, no, what do we do now? We ran out of blood.
It's not that hard to make fake blood.
You know what I want to do? I want to go straight. Can we have Max just reiterate that? I want to go high score or low score. Max, go on. You hated this film. You give it a 3. Go.
Hated this movie. Hated this
movie. What did you hate most about this
First off, okay. What I said before, I did not know that this was a quote-unquote comedy.
Yeah.
There was a movie came out in the 80s. I remember watching this on VHS. I think it was called Deadmate or something like that. And it started out as a serious film, serious horror movie. And I think midway through the production, they realized how stupid and silly this was.
Yeah.
So they eventually veered toward an actual comedy element in the movie.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened with this movie.
They started the comedy really
quickly. Shut up. It's my turn. No, they did not start the comedy early in this movie until they went back and did that stupid, stupid, terrible soundtrack, that dumb banjo music with the credits dropping down and coming from the side. I'm like, what is this?
That was awful.
What is this, a Laurel and Hardy short? This is terrible. It's terrible. And they retrofitted it to make it a quote-unquote comedy. And there was, first off, if it was a comedy, it wasn't funny.
Not a funny note.
Nothing funny about it.
It was
nothing.
Hysterical.
Yeah, you thought Harold and Maude was hysterical, so shut up. It was not funny. The story was so contrived and stupid.
Yeah.
It was just ridiculous. Well, we're going to bring this guy back. He got injured in battle, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I can't eat steak. Oh, I'm going to go throw up. And I'm like, well, what has this got to do with anything? And then they ship him off to this. It was just it was stupid. It was awful. It was awful.
Yeah, and we're talking about the 1993 film Schindler's List, by the way.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Wait. We're talking about 1999's Ravenous. I want to hear what you think. You're going up here with the producer a bit. He's at 7.
Yeah.
You're at 7.
Yeah.
You guys had love for one another on this one. Tell me why.
Well, I categorically disagree with everything that Max just said. The film, the story isn't stupid. I don't know where the comedy thing's coming from. I didn't pick up that this was a comedy in any way.
What?
At all.
Me neither.
Track.
Not at all.
Bite Me? Or eat me, what did it say?
Bite me.
When he introduced all the characters.
You didn't catch right off the bat that when they said bite me.
No, I mean,
they're not trying to be funny for that.
Yeah.
I can see. I mean, I think they were trying to set up, you know, the tone of the thing. And, okay, maybe that's something that I missed, but I didn't pick up any comedic elements in this at all.
That's because it's not a comedy.
Yeah, I didn't find it to be a comedy at all. I thought it was a fairly straightforward drama.
Just the introduction of characters was hysterical.
There's nothing hysterical in this movie.
It could have been a good film if that's what they committed to. They didn't commit to anything in this film.
If that's what they was started out as, to make it sort of a parody of a horror movie, a cannibal movie, they might have made it work. That's not what they started. This is a total unintentional comedy.
But that doesn't mean that the film's a failure either.
Yes, it does.
I didn't think it was a comedy at all. I thought it was a fairly straightforward narrative about a guy who was... he had lost his courage and he was still had to be a warrior.
Yeah.
And then being sent, you know, way out to the Sierra Nevadas, I'd seen this many, many years ago and I'd forgotten just how beautifully this film is shot. Up there in the Sierra Nevadas, man, there are some gorgeous, gorgeous landscape scenes.
Yeah, there are. I'll give it that. Sure.
Just where they're trekking through up the mountains and you could tell they were on location, man. Yeah. That's probably why they ran out of blood, is because they were out in the boonies.
Mm-hmm.
I like Guy Pearce. I like Robert Carlyle. I like the actors in it. Even David Arquette, I mean, as, you know, spasmodic as he was. The story of the Wendigo, I like. It's kind of a Sasquatch, you know, Native American. It's more like a Canadian thing, but I like that story. I like how they blended that superstition into their story. I thought Guy Pearce sold it. I thought, you know, his descent into the abyss... you know, where he'd already hid once in the bodies and the blood got in his mouth. And that's where he found his courage the first time in the opening scene, how he had to go through that again. I thought Robert Carlyle was menacing enough. It sold me on every bit of drama. I thought the ending was a little contrived with the giant trap thing, but no, it's a fun ride. Not every film has to, you know, shake you to your core and you know, have deep morals and your big themes. But this is a fun ride. You pay your money, you get on your ride, you take your ride, man. And I enjoyed this ride up the mountain and down. So
I think Carlyle pulled it out of the fire for me. I liked his performance.
I love Robert Carlyle and everything he does.
But let's not be...
Ever since Trainspotting.
Let's not fool each other.
More like Full Monty for you.
This movie had one foot nailed to the floor, okay? It's spinning in one direction or the other. But I mean, there's some things I did like about the film. But I want to go over to... Matthew Saint Hoodie. Why? You gave this a what?
Five.
Five. Right in the middle with me.
Yeah.
Things that sway it one way or another. You kind of like some things, but in the end, not so much. Tell me why.
I like what James had to say. I think I was so blindsided by how bad things were and the soundtrack, honestly. I
don't remember it at all. I don't.
It's goofy.
It's just, it doesn't make any sense with what's happening in the movie. It's so distracting from anything that's going on that I just hated it so much that I really didn't give this movie two thoughts at all. I just completely dismissed it a lot.
It was
really
bewildering.
Did.
The soundtrack really was bewildering to me.
And the Wendigo, big fan of Wendigos. Big fan.
Big fan.
But the Indian speech, you can't kill a Wendigo.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you can. It's not even really all that tricky. You just slit his throat. That's all you have to do. There's not one specific way, you know.
Yeah.
So that kind of, I mean, it just was inconsistent in the story, very much so. And you're saying it's, you know, we're having the argument, it's not a comedy. It is a comedy. It's not a comedy. I'd say the same thing about a horror. I don't know that I would even classify this really as even a horror.
I wouldn't either.
It's a black comedy.
It's not funny.
It's not funny.
It's just not. It's really, the funniest part is just how bad it is and how bad the soundtrack is. I really don't know how to classify it. But it's
an odd film that way.
Right.
Yeah.
But to get on board with James, it does have those elements. It really does. Yeah, and I completely didn't look for it because I didn't care to look for it. There is a little bit of storytelling happening here. Didn't like it mostly. It fell apart completely, but there are some things you can pull out of this one.
Yeah.
Go figure. The acting, I don't think that's why people watch it.
No, I don't think so either.
Guy Pearce, he did a decent job. Not my favorite thing he's in, but he held it together. He was about the most consistent thing that this movie had going for it.
Yeah. I'm going to jump on board with all you guys. I'm schizophrenic with the film. I don't know. Do I like it? Do I not like certain things? Right. Is it a comedy? Was I supposed to laugh? Let me tell you what. Anytime you have this sound effect in a film, you're trying to tell me that I'm supposed to laugh at something. And with Max, those are the worst opening credits to the point where I actually they charmed me a bit. It's a horror film, but as the credits go across the screen, you hear you know, like an arrow being shot with the credits. I'm like, what is this?
I'm gonna have to look at this again.
It's bizarre, and the music is so bizarre. But that's what turned me on to the film. I'm like, okay, what are you trying to tell me? I can't laugh at it, but apparently I'm supposed to. It's not a horror, but it became somewhat intriguing. And then I did like one word I'm going to throw out, theatrical. I liked the theatrics in the film. I thought Carlisle was great. When he came on the screen, I'm like, okay, I'm going to pick up what this dude's laying down. Yeah. Just very much over the top. If they made this into a musical, like they have what's coming out here, Evil Dead,
yeah.
I think this would be a great musical.
Because
it's very much over the top and bombastic and theatrical and stupid. That there were parts of it that I liked, but yeah, I'm going to also throw out the word on top of theatrical, asinine, because a lot of it is that.
Yeah,
like the camping so close to the cave that they all just.
And first of all, you're by a river. What are you starving for? There's fish right outside your door.
They literally walked to the cave.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
Anybody get this?
Yeah. You know what we're going to do? Why don't we take a break right here? I want to listen to something or other from this film. You guys tell me, is this a comedy? Is this a horror?
We just need to listen to the opening credits soundtrack.
There it is.
This is a funny horror
movie. That
was
played while somebody was about to die, too.
Yeah.
That's so the most misplaced.
Terrible.
I'll tell you what, though. Jeffrey Jones sure died a funky death in this thing, did he not? A lot of blood in this film. But let's listen to a piece of it. This is 1999 Ravenous. God knows what you're going to be listening to here, but we'll come back, talk about some scenes, some things that we can kick around here, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Wendigo.
Wendigo.
Wendigo. Tanuli unil mushka lolishke. Ojibwe tano da hamado glo gashli.
It's an old Indian myth from the north.
Wendigo. Mushka ki iglo tanu temlu.
A man eats another's flesh. It's usually an enemy.
Tanu I uri tanu dungamu kagi.
And he steals his strength, essence, his spirit.
Gelu yamur goeza.
And his hunger becomes craven.
Esa.
Insatiable.
Emlu mama I uri halinga bishopo kenya.
And the more he eats, the more he wants to.
Wendigo gelu nisht odoli.
And the more he eats, the stronger he becomes. Georgia, people don't still do that, do they?
Sandelu davo Jesu Christo abush imie.
White man eats the body of Jesus Christ every Sunday.
Ravenous, 1999, inspiring our top three hungry characters in film.
Hungry.
I say hungry.
Hungry.
And we're going to get to that at the end of this conversation. But the conversation does continue. And let's pick up where we left off. And I don't know where that was. Oh, I tell you where it was. It was talking about scenes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I say we go straight to who wants to talk about their standout scene first?
Well, it's Adam's pick.
Adam, let's go over to you, producer. Your standout scene in this film. When you look back and you take something from it, what's the scene you remember?
Oh, God. There's so many.
There's so many great
scenes.
There's at least one.
Okay.
So many great ones.
Okay. I love the introduction of the characters. I think it's one of the funniest parts to me.
At the camp or initially?
When he goes to the fort for the first time and Jeffrey Jones is introducing all the characters and talking about them. And then they just do these little cut scenes to them. I think that's funny.
Yeah. You mean like a little snide remarks like, we got our drunk priest and we got our crazy chef
He's not a drunk priest.
No, he's a drunk doctor.
Drunk doctor, whatever. Yeah. Okay.
Don't get sick.
That's right.
That's right, yeah. Right. Okay, well, that's the scene. Let's talk about the performances, because you said, and I quote, I loved the performances. Which one did you love the most?
Guy Pearce. And actually, the worst scene, I think, would be Robert Carlyle when he lured everyone into the cave and he starts doing
spasm.
His little... Yeah,
freak out.
And he's
he starts digging.
It's like, I could not... That's the one part I cannot stand of this whole
really?
Thing.
Really? And it was kind of like they sped the camera up to make him look like some kind of a freaky vampire digging in the dirt.
No, I don't think they did. But I think he was really just that. Digging that fast.
But yeah, but later on when he becomes the colonel or whatever he is, I thought he did really great. He was very calm. I thought he pulled that off really well.
Okay. Enough of that. Okay, we got the point.
We got it.
You know what? I think that in the end, you liked it all the way around. Here and there. You liked all kinds of things about this movie.
I loved everything about this
movie. So much
so
that you can't even put your finger on it.
Yeah, even the stunts in this movie I loved. Another one of my favorite scenes is when he jumps off the cliff.
Yeah,
when he's just forced into this corner, and what's the first thing this coward does?
Yeah,
is he just jumps off to save his own life.
Okay,
and then the guy at the bottom just... fighter, the warrior, just attacks him.
Okay, you know what? Max's brains are literally blowing out of his head as he's making very puckered up faces.
Right.
I'm going to let you save it. I'm going to let that fester for a minute, Max. I'm going to get to you in a minute.
Think hoodie. About what you love, Max.
Hoodie, let's get on the hoodie train here. Now he's talking about some scenes, for example, the one where there's the big fight. And cowardice is a big theme in this film, right?
Yeah.
And obviously he's a coward again. He jumps off the cliff rather than fight Robert Carlyle.
Is that
Carlyle.
Cowardly? I mean, I guess. Is he thinking suicide?
I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking.
I mean, if you're going to go the cowardly angle, then suicide would have to be. That's the only play you got there.
Well, tell me, why don't you go down a different road here? You talk
about
the film.
That was a scene that I was going to pick out, the cliff scene. Because it's...
Well, he already shot him.
He shot him.
Shot him, and the guy got back up and was coming straight at him. I'd be scared, too.
I would have fought the guy. I'm just saying. I'm not the bravest guy, but I wouldn't have jumped off a cliff to avoid fighting a dude.
Right.
And that's the center of the film. We're talking about when Carlyle shows up at the camp and he's covered in blood. Mm-hmm. And he's like, man, here's this story. We resorted to cannibalism. Mm-hmm. And Jeffrey Jones, they all decide they're going to go out and they're going to find out what happened in this cave.
Right.
And then all this crap happens. And that's like the center of the film. Did you find that to be a big reveal? Did you think that Robert Carlyle was this guy? And obviously they reveal it there that, he's not the victim. He's the killer.
Yeah.
Did you like that, Hoodie?
Yeah. I mean, for what it was, that's not bad. That's not bad at all.
Yeah. Actually, I kind of like that part, too.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all. I didn't like how they did it so much. I thought that him going crazy when they're back at the cave and doing the digging and the finger thing.
What was that?
To dig up a gun. He was trying to dig up a gun.
Is that what it was?
I think he was trying to dig up a gun or a knife or something.
Yeah.
That's kind of the worst part of the whole movie.
I did like
the
soldier.
That's the worst part of the whole movie? No, oh, my God.
I did like the soldier and that reveal, but a lot of it just didn't... It just didn't flow. It didn't make sense. Like, he sees the bodies hanging, the skeletons, and he drops the torch, and you see the cave go up, and then he just hangs out.
What, was there butane in that cave?
I don't know, but the rest of it didn't burn. It just, like, stopped. I don't know what happened.
There's more flammable than a dead skeleton.
Max,
But that was one of the weirdest and longest hill fall scenes I think I've ever seen.
You know what got me too is here he is. He's coming after the guy with a knife, and the guy has a gun. Why didn't he shoot him? I sat there going, shoot the guy.
Same thing.
Just
I was
shoot
thinking
him.
The same thing.
He did shoot him.
Just shoot the guy.
He did shoot him.
Well, no, I'm talking about the little coward, not the guy, but the priest guy.
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't he shoot him? He stood there and watched the guy.
He was so scared.
He's a pacifist.
Well, then don't give a pacifist
a gun. Then don't have a gun.
They built his character up as this little Weasley. Or
then why does he have a gun?
Well, if he had shot him, then we wouldn't have had that banjo scene. So.
Wait a second. Will you save that?
Build up that fantastic soundtrack scene.
You've mentioned the banjo, and I can't place the damn banjo in this film. You want to talk about that now or later?
Oh, yeah. Me and Max have already talked about
that. What is it? What are you talking about?
When he's chasing this priest around, is it the priest that he's chasing around?
Yes.
It plays this really super peppy bluegrass music, and it just... It smacks you in the face. You're just like, what are you doing?
It's totally inappropriate.
What happened? It doesn't make any sense. And it's so distracting. Yeah. And honestly, that scene just lingers, leaving a bad taste in my mouth for the rest of the movie. And I was just like, what were they doing in that scene? I can't even focus and pay attention to all the stuff that James was doing here.
It's wildly distracting.
Well, I heard that they actually used authentic instruments for this.
It was awful.
I don't care if they used Earl Scruggs from Deliverance for this. It was awful. It was totally misplaced. This was retrofitted to be a comedy horror, and they failed in both aspects terribly.
But Jeffrey Jones saved it.
No.
No. I mean, I thought Jeffrey Jones was, if there was a comedic element to this, I thought it was him and David Arquette to a degree. And I like Tom McDonough, the soldier guy. I'm a fan of him.
The blonde-haired dude. He was the best part of the whole movie.
Yeah, I liked him.
And they killed him halfway through the movie. It was like, you killed the best part of the movie. I love that guy. This is the best-looking, blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy since Steve McQueen has passed away, and you get rid of him.
Man crushes all around.
Yes, indeed. I love that guy, and he was gone. I was like, I'm totally giving up on this piece of crap.
Okay. Yeah. Well, don't forget about the Copper Tone Gentleman from Wake and Fright either. You liked him.
I liked him too. Yeah. And he's, I love that guy.
Savage, let's talk about some scenes now. We're all kind of pulling it out of the fire. Some of them were sticking back in the fire, but we've talked about a few of them here. Any other ones that stood out to you that you may want to get into?
I like the beauty of it. Again, the Sierra Nevadas. I thought it was really pretty. I like the opening thing where he kind of collapses and pretends to be dead. And then, you know, then that's how he hides.
And that's the first part. Yeah. The first thing that introduces that this is going to be a cannibalistic film.
Kind of. I don't think it gets it right off the bat. But I just like Guy Pearce's emotive, you know, this is what I didn't know. It was like 15 minutes or 20 minutes before he says his first sentence.
Let me look at my notes.
He said 25 minutes. 25.
It should have been an hour and a half before he said his first sentence.
You know, now there's one thing there that I got to poke at when he sees Carlisle as the soldier.
Yeah.
And then he just drops down on the floor and they're like, I hated that. It's like, come on, man. That's taking the cowardice thing a little too far. I don't know. I mean, for what it was, I liked it. I thought a lot of it was really well done.
You know, I thought that the part that I liked a lot in this film was after you knew who everybody was.
It was over?
No, stop. We got the point here. Right. We got that point. But when Robert Carlyle comes back and he reveals himself almost like a vampire kind of character.
Kind of, yeah.
And he kind of takes over the fort.
Yeah.
And he sets his spider web up of we're going to trap and lure in these people who are coming in from the West.
Yeah.
Right? And I thought, man, that's kind of an interesting concept here. I like the idea that, here's some cannibals that have eaten the souls of other people. Now they're like monsters. Yeah. They've taken over this fort. I liked all that. And I like to see how that was going to play out because all of a sudden now Geoffrey Jones comes back.
Yeah.
You have what's going to happen with Guy Pearce. You have those three guys in the camp not knowing how they were all going to turn out.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, and it is kind of a vampire movie.
Yeah, I picked up on vampire themes here.
Yeah,
Max would just say that's because it sucked. I think that's why he would say.
Here's what I think. I was watching it and I was totally turned off by those opening credits. I mean, from the get go,
they did turn me off.
Terrible. Yeah. This is terrible. I think there's a good idea for a story here behind this, and it was just so poorly executed. You want to see something beautiful that was filmed? I don't know where it was filmed. As far as a Western in the snow, watch The Great Silence by Corbucci. That's a great movie. That's a good movie. This is a piece of garbage. This is terrible. It was poorly executed in every aspect of the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think Guy Pearce and everybody else in it did the best they could with what they were given.
You got a sense of that.
Yeah, you felt them struggling to go like, wow, this is not turning out real well.
You think that's because the director has stepped in out of the blue and had to try to save the film?
I don't know. I don't know.
This is a pretty good cast that they put together.
It's a real good cast.
It's a great cast.
How did they get the cast together with such a, you know,
a minuscule budget and terrible production?
I'm sure they read the script unless they just all owed somebody a favor.
Because, you know, like Max just said, somewhere in there, there's a good idea here. We're talking about the Western expansion with people eating each other and becoming like these cannibalistic creatures.
I agree. There's a sequel here.
I don't agree. There's a good movie somewhere in here. It's just not this one. It was terrible.
So this is all on the director.
I think it is
100%
I think it's totally
on the director. These actors have proven they got chops.
Yeah, I mean, Guy Pearce and all these guys know what they're doing. I can't put the blame of the film on them. They did the best they could with what they were given and the direction they were given.
Yeah.
It just was not pulled off well.
And like I said, anytime you put a slide whistle or bang in a film, I guess it's a comedy. You know what I thought too? Yeah. You know what I thought to myself when this was done, I actually said to myself, Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell could have done something with this.
They could have pulled this off.
You know what I'm saying,
convincing,
Max?
In a convincing way as a horror comedy. And I will defend to this day, I will go back and say they did not intentionally set out to film a comedy. There's no way. I would love to get my hands on a copy of the script.
I don't think they set out to do it, but I think that somehow post-edit, because you can't just put up the opening synopsis as Eat Me.
No.
Seriously.
There's no way.
That's a comedy.
No.
I think that kind of plays into the soundtrack too. Like we got to get laughs wherever we can because half of this is a drama.
I think with the soundtrack they've got to set the tone that, okay, we've got to make people think this is a funny movie.
Right.
For some reason, there's some sort of black comedy going on here. Just to make people think, this was intentional.
Right.
Okay. A, I'm gonna go with this with y'all talking about the
another
best
a.
music. Oh, sorry.
B.
B. the music was actually nominated for a Saturn Award for Best Music in a Film in 2000 and also for the Satellite Awards as well.
That doesn't mean anything
to
anyone.
They were still nominated, so y'all are talking about how bad the music is, but yet it's a nominated soundtrack.
Saturn Awards, I don't care. What else was nominated that year by the Saturns?
I have no clue.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. I don't know.
That was a horror movie.
It was awful.
All right, well, let's talk about what is at the meat of this film.
Nice.
And that is the meat. Right. Okay, because matter of fact, I was talking to a guy the other day. I said, we're going to talk about Ravenous. He said, the movie where they eat people.
Yeah.
So in the end, it's all about cannibalism.
Oh, no, it's about a guy's cowardice.
Well, what I'm telling you is that people will remember it as, the movie where they eat people.
Did they ever eat somebody? Did you ever see somebody
They had
actually
a whole stew.
Yeah, but
did you ever see somebody bite into somebody?
No. Well, they pulled the little scony, bony skeleton out of the...
Oh, the bony skeleton. But did you ever see somebody actually eat somebody?
He licked him.
No.
I didn't even see that.
He licked me.
He licked me. He licked me.
Yeah, you didn't see that.
Stuck the knife in his leg.
Okay, so when we're talking about that being the arching kind of thing that people... Oh, that film, the cannibal one. How did that sit on you, Matt? I mean, did you like how all that played out? Were you disgusted by it? Did you think it was well delivered? Was it too heavy-handed?
The cannibalism?
Yeah, the cannibalism stuff.
Man, I don't know.
It almost seemed unnecessary in a lot of ways.
It kind of, yeah. I don't know why they would do that. I'm trying to wrap my head around it. Yeah, I guess it is a little bit unnecessary. You
no,
could just
it's
have a
the
bunch
story
of
story of the Wendigo. Well, it's okay, wrapping it
yeah,
into
yeah.
that.
Kinda. Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
I thought it propelled the story.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that because I didn't like this. I didn't like that.
I didn't like the cannibalism.
Well, no, I didn't like the cannibalism. I don't mind it. They didn't show the cannibalism. It was...
You just saw a lot of, like, skeletons. Like,
and a lot of stew.
Stuff.
Okay, and stew. And Wendigos. I mean, why not put some makeup on these guys and let them look, you know, Hulk them up, man.
Hulk them up.
You know what? That's a good thing. Maybe they should have shown these people as they supposedly ate these people, changing physically.
That's
becoming
how it's supposed
menacing.
To go. That's how a Wendigo is supposed to be. It's supposed to turn into this monster. You're supposed to actually physically form,
what,
according to the legend.
The Winnebagos? They're supposed to?
Yeah, the Winnebagos. Yeah. Maybe if there was like a specific way to kill the Wendigo, maybe that would have helped it out a lot too. Yeah. Like he had to find like what actually kills these things and figure
they're
that out.
They're still technically human. Come on.
Yeah, well, but the woman says at the beginning, you can't kill a Wendigo. And then, you know, he's shooting them, you know, they're breaking bones and they're healing, coming back. And then the guy's like, yeah, I'm ready to die. Just slit my throat. It's fine.
Yeah. You know what? I hated that scene.
I think we need to wrap this one up, guys. Let's end that one there. This is, we talked about Ravenous, 1999, Guy Pearce, Robert Carlyle. Who else? Oh, Jeffrey Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Directed by someone who probably didn't know she was going to direct it.
She's dead.
Yeah. Is she?
Yeah.
She passed on? Oh, yeah. God rest her soul.
I've officially gone down to a 2.
All right, Max, what's the final score? You're going 2. I'll stick 5.
Respect
anybody else going to change?
Max,
official score is 26 meaty mouthfuls.
26 meaty mouthfuls on the film Ravenous.
It should have been a 5. It should all give it a 1.
This also inspired our top 3 hungry characters. Hungry. Ravenous.
Hungry like the Wendigo.
Ravenous film characters in film. Tell you what, let's take a quick break right here. Little piece, round it out. Ravenous, 1999. Check it out. It's on Netflix. You can see if you agree with Max or not. Here you go. We'll be back in just a second.
Agree with me.
Talk about our top 3 ravenous, hungry characters in film.
Manifest Destiny. Westward Expansion. You know, come April, it'll all start again. Thousands of gold, hungry Americans will travel over those mountains on the way to new lives, passing right through here. We won't kill indiscriminately. No, selectively. God, we don't want to break up families.
So there's a piece from the film we talked about tonight, Ravenous, 1999. Inspiring our top 3 hungry film characters. Would you call them ravenous? They could be.
They're just hungry.
Let's just do this thing, man. We're talking about top 3 ravenous, hungry film characters. And I'm going to go straight to the man that queued up this thing. The producer, number 3, what is it?
Augustus Gloop.
Of course.
Who?
Yep. Oh, Willy Wonka. Luke.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? The kid that wouldn't stop eating?
He's hungry.
He was wearing the husky pants, I'm sure.
He's hungry.
Oh, yeah.
Tough skins. Tough skins, yeah. Not a bad answer. I thought that could be number one. That could actually be a number one, and it was to a lot of people. I'll tell you that in a bit. Put this out on Twitter. That got a lot of feedback. Max Gumbo Johnson.
Ah, oh, this is so tough for me. Number three, I'm going to have to go with Jake from the Blues Brothers. The guy wanted four fried chickens and a Coke. The guy was hungry.
That's right. He was hungry.
He was hungry. He you want hungry. Chicken wings and chicken legs? Four fried chickens and a Coke.
Four fried chickens.
So you know, I'm going with Jake from the Blues Brothers.
He should have said a Diet Coke is what he should have said.
That'd have been too much.
Why?
I don't know.
You're eating four fried chickens. Why go Diet Coke?
You know what my number three is? I've got a little bit of comedy theme. I got one thing going here.
You got a theme.
Okay, I got a theme tonight.
You're stealing my thing.
My comedy, my hungry people and comedies. My number three is the crackhead who wanted hoe cakes in Hollywood Shuffle.
Winky dinky hoe cake.
You got your winky dinky dog. You got your winky dinky burger. Well, why'd you got the winky dinky hoe cake? Hoe got to eat too.
Hoe got to eat too.
Hoe got to eat too. Winky dinky dog. You know what I'm talking
winky
about?
Winky dinky hoe cake.
Because hoe got to eat the two. Hoe got to eat two.
I wow. have no I idea love what that you're movie.
You know what? I am so happy right now because I was thinking to myself, this is my little treasure. No one's going to know what I'm talking about. Max throws down the gauntlet with the winky dinky dog.
Love that movie. I love that movie.
Robert Townsend was fantastic, man.
We are sneaking movie. Into the movies.
Yeah. Dirty Larry. How do 50 bullets in your ass make your day, Dirty Larry?
Where's your ticket? Oh, no. I left it at the job.
All right. Here's a promise. They ever put Hollywood Shuffle up, we may have to talk about that.
Right. Anybody totally seen this film? Both picking that.
It's fantastic.
I love that movie. Okay.
So my number three comedy theme is Winky Dinky Dog, and I'm talking about the crackhead who wanted hoe cakes.
Winky Dinky Hoe Cakes.
Because Hoodie, hoes got to eat too.
That's what I hear.
That's what I hear.
Savage, yeah. Number three for you is what?
I have a theme too. I'm not what going comedy. I'm going cosmic. I mean, this has got to be big, big. Galactus from Fantastic Four, the World Eater.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Mm,
the Eight Worlds.
I haven't watched that piece of crap film.
Is your other one?
But they never really showed him. That's the problem I have with that movie.
They kind of did.
Wait a second. This guy ate Shadow.
That's your problem with the movie?
Max is on the hate train tonight.
What if, I'm hating. What if Galactus versus the Nothing from Never Ending Story? Who would win?
Oh, that's easy. A good answer.
That's not my answer.
Oh, that's a good answer. I'm going with a comedy theme.
I went with Cool Hand Luke.
He was hungry for eggs.
What's the eggs? He wasn't exactly hungry, but he had something to prove.
Cool Hand Luke was hungry? I can't remember.
He ate like 50
eggs.
Hard-boiled eggs.
He was hungry, though.
I guess.
Okay.
He was sick after.
It was more for a bet, so I don't think he was ravenously hungry, but I'm sure he called it lunch.
He was hungry for success.
He probably called it lunch for the next 7 days.
Producer, number two for you, what's it going to be?
The Blob.
You son of a gun. That was on my list, but I went with the comedy theme. The
That's
Blob.
That's not comedy.
Well, I know what I'm saying. It was on my list till I decided to go full-on comedy.
Yeah.
Mm. Not bad. The Blob. What was the Blob hungry?
Well, he constantly
definitely a
ate.
Comedy. I mean, it's the stupidest character ever.
But he was kind of hungry.
Whoa.
I think he was eating them because he was hungry.
I think he just didn't know anything else.
He was a perfect eating machine.
All this Blob does is eat and swim and make other little blobs. That's all it really does.
The Blob. Adam's number two.
It's not a bad one. I'll give him that one.
All right.
That's not bad at all. What about you, Max Gumbo Johnson, number two?
Okay, I don't know how hungry this guy was or not, but he sure ate like he was the hungriest person in the world. It's, I'm not even sure how to pronounce the guy's name. Donathor from Return of the King. It was John Noble.
Oh, that's yeah, yeah. Right.
When he was eating all those
cherries
and grapes and chicken while the guy was, Pippin was singing the song.
Right.
Most disgusting thing I've ever seen in a film.
That was pretty disgusting.
My God, yeah. Could you be more gross with your table manners?
You know who that was?
John Noble.
Yeah. Was that?
He was in Fringe.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. That's right. I was thinking of the other guy who was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He played Wormtongue, but that wasn't the same guy.
No, that's Dourif. Brad Dourif.
Yeah, but he was a pig in that film. He was eating juice rolling down his chin.
He was no Danathor or whatever the guy's name was. No.
That's a standout scene.
Totally grosses me out to this day.
To keep up with my comedy,
right?
Hungry people and comedy movies, my number two is Jim Brewer in Half-Baked.
I want you to go get some Skittles, man, and come back with some nachos, man, and then get me a pizza and some donuts, man. It's going to be great.
And Funyuns.
Come back and don't forget the Funyuns, man. That's Jim Brewer. Of course, you know, I do think that munchies count as hungry, don't they?
That's hungry. You're hungry or you're not hungry.
Don't you remember that, though? He just wouldn't stop. But he makes sure you get his Funyuns. What about you there, Savage? Number two, what?
On the cosmic hungry scale, from the fifth element, the great evil.
Why? Because it just ate worlds.
Everything, yeah.
Is devoured.
Yeah, everything that came to eat it.
Okay.
Did he eat that, what's the guy's name in that? That annoying dude? Wish he would have ate him.
God. What are we talking about?
What's his name? Chris Tucker.
Chris Tucker.
Oh, eat him up, please.
Do you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Ruby Ray?
Yeah.
Whatever his name
was. Ruby Ray?
I hated that. I hated that.
Like the movie, didn't like him either, but I do like Matthew St. Hoodie.
Hey.
Patron saint. Talk about it, number two.
John Candy, Great Outdoors.
Did he eat that film?
Oh, yeah. He ate that huge
100-ounce steak.
100-ounce steak?
Yeah, he's stuffing it into his face. Do you remember? You got to eat the gristle.
Is that the gristle? That's just gristle. You got to eat it, too.
Too funny, man. I've never seen the film.
It's all right. It's good.
But I think anytime someone takes down a 100-pound chunk of meat, yeah, you got to put them on the list.
And it's John Candy to do it. So
yeah. Speaking about a 100-pound chunk of meat, I'm talking about our producer over there. Number two, I don't know. I just had to say it, man. Oh, wait, the number ones?
Yeah.
Number ones.
Producer, blow my mind with your number one hungry character in films.
I got to go Monty Python, Meaning of Life, the big fat dude. I can't remember his name.
Absolutely.
But, yeah.
Mr. Creosote.
That's his name.
I'm looking on the shout-outs. Yeah, Mr. Creosote. Yeah.
Yep.
From Meaning of Life.
He's the best.
Yeah.
He's my number one
he
as well.
He blew himself up.
Yeah. It is just whap-a-fan.
He's
going off.
You're going to explode. My number one, sticking with my comedy theme, my number one is just one because I like the film. And I liked John Cusack being hungry in The Sure Thing because they split a Tic Tac for dinner or a piece of gum. Remember that in Daphne Zuniga? Remember that? How hungry they were. They were on the road. You don't remember this film. You're all mocking me.
Which movie?
The Sure Thing.
The Sure Thing. I love that movie.
They were starving.
Hey, cowboy guy.
Yeah,
I'm going to buy you a beer, cowboy guy.
Hey, get cowboy guy another beer. But you remember when they were so hungry on the road?
Yes, I do.
That's my favorite
movie. I love that movie.
Savage, what's your number one?
Okay, Cosmic Hunger. It's already been said from The Neverending Story, The Nothing.
You're welcome. Yeah. Sorry.
Did you know that or did he inspire?
No, I knew it. He just said it. The Nothing.
It's The Nothing.
Okay, so yours is The Nothing. You like things that are devouring whole worlds.
Yeah.
Okay, number one.
Cosmic hunger.
It is cosmic. I've had cosmic hunger. Oh, God. How about you, Hoodie?
You guys did a really good job on this, I just want to say.
It's tough, isn't it? It's a tough one.
I did awful. I have Chevy Chase.
Yes.
It's Rocky Mountain Oysters.
Yes.
Oh. And Funny Farm.
Oh, that was pretty good.
I think The Nothing beats everything.
I just like to think about that film. Well, let me just tell you what we have on Twitter here. I'll get through this real quick because we had a big response from this, too. But just check some of this out. At Movie Film Buff says Jabba the Hutt.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He also says Jaws.
Yep.
We had three or four people say Ocean's 11 because Brad Pitt's always munching on something.
Always.
He was on my list.
Yeah, and that was Kevin Dillon at Kevin Dillon 316. Kev Dillon.
Is that the Kev Dillon?
No one here said Slimer.
Slimer's hungry.
Oh. Whoa, I can't believe I missed that. It's Ghostbusters reference. I feel so ashamed. I'm going home.
At the Cult of VHS said Slimer, as did at Rosender. We have Chunk from Goonies from True Bromance Podcast. This is a great answer. At Opie Jones, Audrey 2 from Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How could
I thought
you forget
about that?
That,
actually.
Feed Miss Seymour.
At The Blackboard says Ravenous. And he says also possibly the thief and the cook and the thief and his wife and her lover.
Yeah, I almost put that on my list. That dude did never stop eating.
Well, guess what? That ends this one, man. That's where this one ends. We're talking about Ravenous. Top three hungry film characters.
Hungry.
So that's where this one goes. That's where this one ends. But we're going to talk about our big reveal.
Yes, sir.
And this is going to go around the table to James Hard Sub Savage.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have no idea. We have not put this through the Savage filter.
That's right.
God. So...
Here we go. Big
bring
reveal.
Bring it.
Still,
what?
I got to bring my score up. I'm tired of you hating my films. Still, I had two on the table, but it's still Halloween time. So
Ghostbusters?
Nope. I'm going with Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, okay. That's
a
good
one.
A lot of people will like this. Confession to you, never seen the film. I don't think I've seen this film. I've seen it in passing, briefly. We've had people request this. How long has it been since you've seen them?
Probably 10, 15 years.
John Carpenter, too.
Yeah.
It's only been like a year for me.
Kurt Russell.
Yeah, I think it was 88, something like that.
Kurt Russell.
Yeah. All right, guys. So listen, that's where this one ends. Let's end it right there. And that was Ravenous 1999 Top 3 Hungry Film Characters. Thanks for tuning into The Q. If you want to offer your thoughts on this one or any film we review, we don't care. You go to theqfilmcast.net because we love to hear from you. It's called feedback. We dig it. So next week, there it is. Big Trouble, Little China, Kurt Russell. We're talking about John Carpenter. We're talking about John Carpenter.
No, we're talking about Kurt Russell.
Either way.
Damn it.
Remember what old Jack Burton used to say.
But that's it, Savage. Big Trouble, Little China next week. Meet us back here. We're going to cue it. We're going to review it. And until then, however you say, I'm hungry.